Good. Title of my message tonight, okay, is Am I a Willing Servant? Key word, it would be willing. Many of us would be servants, and we can think of servants as people who do things for someone else. But very rarely do we find a willing servant, I would think. Some of you, many of you, can think of in your mind what a full-service station would be, or a full-service clothing store, or something like that. And you go there, and you may not have the expectation, but you are served. So you go there, and this someone's ready to obey us when we go into those places, and they have the power to obey us, most of the time, at least for what we're looking for. They're full of the following. They're usually full of a certain phrase, and it's one that we'll all remember, and it's called, yes, sir. All right? So they're full of, they say, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. Can I get you anything else, sir? Yes, sir. We hear that a lot, and we may hear that a lot throughout our lives told to us, yes, sir. Well, where are we doing the yes, sirs? Is kind of where we're going tonight. So I'm preaching against myself, so we'll start there. We have a term at work, at my job, and it's called engagement. It's a term that means, basically, sum it up, you love what you do, you love who you do it with, and you like the non-monetary outcomes of it, at least. So the question tonight would be, do we have an engaged heart and life for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? So turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. That'll be most of our text tonight. We'll have to take some of it from a verse from Mark and then some from Matthew. So another way to say, am I engaged, is, am I a willing servant? You see, I think we take for granted how powerful the will is. We were created in God's image. He gets to do what He chooses, and He put that into us. We actually get to choose to serve Him. And more powerful than just the will is a yielded will, and that's what we'll see tonight. So a willing servant trusts his master. A willing servant says, yes, sir. Or maybe they say, is the task that you called me to do done? Is that all? Do you need anything else? What is next, Lord? Okay, so we look to our perfect example. That would be our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so in Philippians 2, verses 3 through 8, we'll be looking through that tonight. And so we'll read that. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Explanation to follow. What mind? Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Thank you. You may be seated. So let this mind, the mind that says, I am a child of God. He was God's son, so he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Well, God calls us his children. And with that comes certain family rights, I guess you would say. if done the right way. I'm a child of God. I didn't come to this earth now to be served. I'm no longer on this earth to be served. I came to humble myself and to serve because of his death. Jesus is the perfect servant. He was tempted, yet without sin. He was obedient to the death of the cross. What makes him the perfect servant is he knew when he could no longer yield his will. He had to just obey. He had to completely give it up. He said in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but thine be done. Abba, Father, Daddy, I can't do it anymore. But I'll do it for you. He's our perfect example, and we ought to have that mind toward Christ. In Mark 10:45, it says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many." He didn't come to be waited on, to have any recognition or any of those things. He came to minister. He came to be a servant. He came to give Himself, not to have others to serve Him, or that they might tell Him how great He was, or for others to see how really cool His miracles were. He didn't do it to be a show-off in any way, or to have anyone wait on Him at all. Verse 7 of our text in Philippians, and I'll reread it here, it said, "But made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." He didn't care what it looked like. He didn't care what He looked like. He cared who He obeyed. So we ought not also, in our text, think it's wrong to be called a child of God and the family of God, because God calls us His children. Jesus came to be a servant, and He not just desires that we become a servant, but commands us to do the same. Christ had a humility of mind and will toward His Father. He was humble. He always obeyed. He was obedient, as we read, to the death of the cross. I would say we know this because He prays. Shows His humility. Shows His need. Shows His, I guess, not that He has the power, but He is under the one who has the power. He was our perfect example as a servant. And we'll do some rhyming here. We know this because He stays. Christ stays the course. When His will takes Him no further toward the cross, He asks His Father if there's any other way, and then yields His will to His Father. He stays the course. We know this because He obeys. Christ not only obeys in His last 100 days here on earth, but He was obedient and sinless the first 33 plus years on earth. He has always and will always obey His Father, His authority in that role. So I'd like to ask some questions tonight as I preach to myself that maybe we can all glean something from, and I pray that you only glean a little and that you're not, and I'll just read this, in the same double-minded mess that I can find myself in sometimes. So here goes. Where are our yes sirs in our Christian walk? Sometimes we may sing "Onward, Christian Soldiers" and be convinced in mind for a moment. And we might believe it's a really wonderful idea to be a Christian soldier and be stirred in emotion for the moment. But we know in our hearts that we usually only believe it until it requires a commitment or a life change, or that stumbling block of the where we yield our will over to His and we no longer do what we've always done. It involves a commitment, such as we heard last Wednesday so very well. And then Sunday we learned that it involves a laid down life. I would say that laid down life would be full of yes sirs to God and to God's and to God-given authorities in our life as well. Quite a long message to say we should yield our life to the one who yielded His for us, when that should be really the only explanation we need. Christ's life should inspire us to serve Him and to serve others as He wants us to. I mean, the God of heaven came from heaven to earth to serve us with His death. Do I need another reason to serve Him? So let's look at Christ's words to confirm that we ought not desire another reason to serve Him. Another reason to serve Him might be what we read about, and that would be vainglory. So Matthew 6, and I'll read verses 1 through 6 here. get there. It says, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be done in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So we do not pray to be heard of men, or give alms, money or gifts, etc., to be seen of men. For we'll get nothing more than a boys' club high five. Pretty much what it amounts to. There's no power in that. There's no eternal fruit. Probably no more satisfaction than the pleasure of season of sin gives, very short-lived, ending up bringing shame and confusion to maybe your own mind. I'd like to apply this personally. So I'll just share some thoughts that I've had recently over the recent months and maybe even the last year. I need to be here for all prayer services, for all scheduled visitation times, for all preaching services, for all work days. When we know something that needs to be done, when I know that, I need to be here. And I'm not just talking about being here in body. God wants a truly yielded will that says, if God says I should do it, then I should do it heartily as to the Lord. He wants me to be present in all conversations with His people. He wants me to be active in all activities. Not just show up. He wants me to love coming to these family events. Right? Family of God. These should be family events. Any church event should be a family event. All right? I don't consistently act this way, and I can still physically sing, I'm so glad to be a part of the family of God. You know, these thoughts go in my mind. But I usually sing it with a thought of relief. That there's something that's going to get me out of this turmoil, and that's the end of this life. So I sing, I'm so glad to be a part of the family of God because someday I'll get to heaven. God wants so much more than that for us. He wants an abundant life. But I don't always sing it with the joy and vigor and pride in my heart that I should have. Pride in my heart for the Lord and Savior who saved me and united all of us, sinners from different backgrounds and different walks of life, under His banner, His purpose, His calling. Let me tell you something else I know. God gives His children enough. God loves His children enough to allow them to ponder. And pondering for me is where He does His conviction in my heart. And so He'll put questions across there like, is this it? Is this all there is to life as a child of God? Is my life going to be prayerless, powerless, pathetic in heart? No. No, the rest of that came from the devil. That was the devil shooting arrows of unbelief regarding a victorious Christian life, a yielded life to Him, a yielded will. So we can get rid of all that complicated, confusing mind games that the devil likes to play. Because all we're doing is allowing strongholds to be created in our life that really cripple us. So we need to yield our lives to our will to a God who can, because in every situation he can. And we know when he can that he desires to use us to do it. You see, he still needs that body, that presence, that mouthpiece of his. He needs us to tell others. He needs us to be holy. He needs us to be examples. God needs a willing servant to do a servant's part. He needs us to do that job. The Holy Spirit has been working to soften up their hearts. All he needs is a willing servant who will simply do his part. Can you imagine up in heaven the joy that will be that day when a sinner bows his head to pray and we hear the Father say, "Go sound the horn." He needs a willing servant. Not just someone to show up. And I tell you in truth, this is totally for me tonight. Like I said, I hope you can only glean. So listen, in closing, the Christian life does not have to be complicated. It's three things, at least in my mind. To God and everyone else, I can't. God, you can, and you might use everyone else to do it in my life. God, yes, sir, is the answer. What do you want me to do next? So we need to humble ourselves, humble our will, stop worrying about our reputation or whatever stronghold the devil has on us, and allow the life of Christ, the perfect servant, obedient unto death, to show us how to be humble and obedient. Then we'll be in a place that we can commit our ways into the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. We just thank you for being our perfect example, sending your Son to do so. And Father, being the one that we can yield our will to and allow you to be the strength in every situation. Father, for if we do it in our own strength, we'll have our reward. We'll have our weak, vain, powerless Christian life, Lord. We don't want that. Lord, I just pray that you would just destroy the bands of unbelief. And Lord, allow us to trust you and be willing to serve you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay? You're dismissed.